Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. The sermon for today, the fifth Sunday after Easter, commonly called Rogation Sunday, was one of Orisa's favorites for his vegetable garden.
Yeah.
I'm calling it, in this world we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The sermon by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday continue a short season we call Rogation Tide. They are the last 4 days of the season of Easter, and they are the days which lead up to Ascension Day this coming Thursday. On Thursday, after we hear St. Luke tell us how Jesus went up into heaven as the disciples watched, we shall snuff out the Paschal candle, which I already did. This has burned in the chancel since Easter Day to represent the 40 days Jesus spent with the disciples after his resurrection. Not a mess of the transcript. The word rogation comes from the Latin word, which means to say, ask, as in interrogate. What we are asking God for at this season is a successful spring planting, which will lead to a bountiful harvest in the fall, which will provide plenty of food to keep us going all winter. The religious calendar of ancient Israel featured several spring and fall fertility festivals. Israel had a largely agricultural economy. That means things in Israel were rather different from our own service and information-based economy. But the idea of agricultural festivals still rings true. You get it every fall. We still have to eat, and we still have to depend on God to set up the conditions under which we can work to produce food. The planting and harvest dimensions of rogation make it a fitting conclusion to the season of Easter. The season in which we think about the promise of resurrection from the dead and eternal life in heaven, which Jesus' resurrection gives us. What makes the connection is the Old Testament concept of first fruits. The first fruits are what comes up earliest in the harvest. God told Israel to give him the first fruits. His command is still binding on us. If you give to God first, you show that you trust him to take care of you with what is left over. If you wait around to see what you have left over before you give to God, you show that you don't trust him much at all. St. Paul calls Jesus the first fruits of them that slept, the first fruits of the dead. Jesus' resurrection is like a spring harvest, which provides a preview of what is going to happen in the fall. Jesus is the first fruits of the dead because he came up out of his grave first. We are the latter fruits of the dead because we shall come up out of our graves later on at the last day. In the fall, as it were, when Jesus comes back to earth. Our hymn today captures the idea perfectly. Christ is risen, Christ the first fruits of the holy harvest field. which will, all its full abundance, at the second coming yield. Today we ask God to give us a good harvest in the fall. We are pretty confident that He will do it, or at least that Piggly Wiggly and Food Lion will continue to make us think that He has done it. Most of us are pretty well divorced from the close daily connection to issues of planting and harvest, but we'll notice if a drought or a frost somewhere else makes fruits and vegetables scarce or outrageously expensive. Jesus addresses the general issue of asking God for things at the beginning of today's gospel. He tells the disciples, "Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." So we have a clear commandment from Jesus to ask God for things. If we ask God for things and it turns out they are the things He wants to give us, He will give them to us. One of the first things we learn when we get started asking God for things is that He doesn't always give us what we ask for. If He does give us what we ask for, He doesn't necessarily give it to us right away. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says wait. Sometimes He says keep on nagging and I'll think about it. I have no glib answer to the question, why does God give us some of the things we ask for and not others? We pray every week for people to be healed of their various infirmities. For example, some of them get well and some of them don't. We ask God to make things happen in our lives and in the lives of people we care about. Sometimes He does what we ask, other times He doesn't. I have discovered that all this does not become particularly clearer or easier to understand the older you get. I haven't figured it out. What we can be sure of is that God is our Father who loves us, and He wants to give us what is best for us. I have a hard time accepting the idea that God knows what is best for me better than I do. But that is a lesson that praying for things can teach me. As we go on in prayer asking for things and then seeing what happens, we develop a better understanding of what God is up to. We also develop a deeper understanding of everything, that everything depends upon Him anyway. We can even come to want what He wants rather than what we want, because we learn that what He wants for us is always better. In the long run, of course, this transitory life ends, just like the labor pains we have talked about the past couple of weeks. Easter has given us the hope and the promise of a better life in heaven after Jesus comes back to resurrect us and to take us up. While we wait for Him, we can take great comfort in the words that end today's gospel, words which accept reality as it is, and also promise us something better. Jesus says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as the most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.